This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
Good evening. My name is Mary Schutzer-Weissman, and I'm Programme Coordinator for the Culture of Prosperity at the Legarten Institute. We're very lucky to have Catherine Schenk here with us today. She is the Professor of International Economic History at the University of Glasgow. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we have a few questions for you on cities today. Which city in history for you has been most central to human flourishing?
Well, it's a huge group to choose from, obviously. I think I'd probably opt for Constantinople, Istanbul, because it is sort of a crossing over of cultures, a mixture of faiths. It was always a historically over such a long period, the interconnection between Asia and Europe, and a place of economic exchange, cultural exchange. And I think it still has that kind of resonance, particularly today when there's all these issues about what is Europe and what is Asia how people form those kinds of identities. So I think it's obviously still quite central to issues today as it was back when it was Constantinople.
Great, thank you. And for you, which cities had the biggest impact on your life?
This is also a tricky one, and I'm going to cheat a little bit, I think, okay, on this one. I'm Canadian, as you might be able to tell from my accent, and my mother's family arrived in the United States in the 1630s, before it was the United States, and they founded three towns in Connecticut and Vermont, Stratford, Connecticut, Windsor, Connecticut, and Arlington, Vermont. And if they hadn't gone out there and been so adventurous and pioneers in the 17th century, the path of my history would have been extraordinarily different.
You know that all the way back from the 17th century?
Indeed, it was quite a sort of a famous group of people that wow, went out there, Congregationalists. And they ended up loyal to the crown during the American Revolution and got kicked off their land, unfortunately. And that's how my family ended up in Canada.
Okay, I see. So positive and then the downfall. Too strong side, it's over. And which city for you is one to watch for the future?
I think the process of urbanisation that a lot of countries are undergoing at the moment means that the nature of cities will change and the geographical distribution of cities will change. I'd kind of look, if you're looking out beyond 20 years, maybe to countries where the population is relatively young, relatively mobile and kind of dynamic. So for those, I'd be looking for maybe cities in Africa or maybe even cities in the Middle East to be, if you were kind of being more speculative, to maybe be creating a new kind of cities in this new kind of technological environment that cities are growing in.
And of course, that urbanisation is something that happened to Hong Kong as well, which is what we come to next, because your lecture will be on Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And why does the history of Hong Kong matter to us today?
It does seem like a sort of a very small little rock off the coast of China. But it has a really important resonance, I think, with how we understand markets, how we understand free markets, how we see international economic relations operate. It's always held up as being a great laissez-faire paradise, the kind of quintessential free market. It's always ranked top in terms of the freest market in the world, right back to the 1990s, right back to the 1970s. But as an economic historian, I wanted to look a little bit more deeply at that. And I think understanding the complexities of what that means in terms of a free market, how a free market isn't all about individual choice, that there are other kind of pressures at play, about the relationship between the state and business is much more complicated than somebody like Milton Friedman might have suggested back in the 1980s. So I think it's important to look at Hong Kong as the benchmark or the paradigm of a free market, and then unpick what that means for how we understand capitalism.
And how far do you think that the kind of label of a free market paradise has been applied to Hong Kong because there was some kind of confluence of moment and mechanism? You know, it was a small outcrop and it experienced enormous growth in a very short space of time. But how far would that did was the specifics of the moment allow it to do that?
I think obviously the founding of Hong Kong, coming out of the trade between China and the West, and the desire for the British to have a free port, if you like, and to not have the constraints of operating in Canton. So its very founding and its raison d'être had to do with international trade and opening up markets. And the Hong Kong government, all the way through the period, has sort of protected that sort of idea of what it is. But again, if you look at more closely at how the government is influenced by the businesses that operate there, how constrained some of the markets are, particularly the banking system historically, it doesn't look as free as it does on the outside.
Well, thank you very much. That's fascinating. I look forward to your lecture this evening.
Thank you.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.